breakthroughs. Amen. We had breakthroughs. I'm telling you, God moved by His Spirit on this event. It was such a blessing. It was a blessing to me. And as many of us found out, there were some things that we needed to hash out, that we needed to bring out, and we needed to expose so that they could be healed. And I can tell you this, that everybody that experienced this, they have grown in their marriage. Their marriages are going to be better because of this one event. I can't imagine what God is going to do in subsequent days and subsequent years, because the things that we learned, it's not just for us. It's so that we realize why we are married. Our representation of Jesus in the church, our representation of God's plan is so powerful. It's powerful for the world. It's not just for us. And we learned that, and it was just a blessing. And so let's give the Lord a hand praise, because God did that. God did that. You know, that scripture says, and it is marvelous in our eyes what God can do. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on the message for this morning. Father, this afternoon, we say thank you, Lord. We say thank you because of who you are, Lord. You are great and greatly to be praised. We thank you, Lord, that you awakened us to see this new day. You gave this day for us so that we could live and we could enjoy your greatness, enjoy your creation, enjoy life. And we thank you for how you blessed us with life, and you came that we might have life more abundantly. And we know that there's an enemy to our souls, and that enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But you came that we might have life. And so thank you, Lord, for being the God of life. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with a new day, a new sunshiny day. Thank you for this air that you have allowed us to breathe. This is your air, and we thank you for that air, for the blood flowing through our veins, and for soundness of mind. We thank you for those here in the sanctuary and those on social media, those that are listening in, God, waiting for you to speak to them, to their hearts, knowing what their needs is today, God. We thank you because you know all things, and you do all things well. And so for every need, Lord, that they be met, we ask, Lord, for everyone in the sound of my voice, that your word penetrates, that your word takes root, that there are some seeds sown, some seeds watered, that some fruit might be born, and that you might get the glory. And we thank you this afternoon. Bless your word, Lord, to our hearts. Lord, give it meaning. Lord, give us something that we can take away and utilize in everyday life. And Lord, we thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen. You may be seated. And so today, I'm going to be talking to you about, let's see if I can find it here. Oh, boy. As you can see, the title, What Do These Bones Mean? Now, you probably wonder, what in the world kind of title is that? What do these bones mean? You remember when when the children of Israel went across the Jordan and they took stones out of the riverbed, which there was the Jordan River was flowing, but God had parted the Jordan the same way he had done the Red Sea. And in the riverbed where it had been dry for them to cross, the leaders of every tribe, 12 tribes, were told to take a stone out of that riverbed and take it across. And at the end of it, when the waters would come back into the river, they were told to make a memorial, and they said, so when your children grow up, they'll say, when they see that stack of stones, what do these stones mean? Well, here we have a title, What Do These Bones Mean? So that's a tricky title, and I'll tell you what it all is about. This is going to be a story about someone in the Bible. In the Old Testament, his name was Joseph, and I'm pretty sure most of us have heard of Joseph. Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. He was next to the baby. He was the one of two sons of Jacob's beloved wife. He had two wives and he had a bunch of concubines. But if you remember the story, Jacob loved Rachel. He ended up with Leah first, which was, he got tricked into that. And then Rachel, he'd have to work another 7 years. He ended up working 14 years for Rachel. And he got Rachel. And then he had one of his sons, her sons with Jacob was Joseph. And we know the story of Joseph. If you don't know the story of Joseph, Joseph was blessed by God, and he, the scripture says, was a dreamer. He not like we have dreams. You eat too much, you know, hog maws, and you start having dreams, and you walking on stuff and falling and all that stuff. He was a dreamer who had gotten dreams from God, and God gave him dreams regarding the future. The problem was his dreams made him look bad. It made him look like he was better than the rest of his family, and his brothers became jealous of him, and they hated him. So I'm going to be talking today about Joseph, and I want to talk to you about how Joseph, first of all, I want to talk about how Joseph is so close in his, there's such a parallel between Joseph and Jesus. There's two men in the Old Testament in Scripture that you cannot find anything in Scripture negative about them. One of them is Daniel. And if you remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den, my wife brought up Daniel this morning. You know, Daniel was not in the fiery furnace, but he was one of the Hebrew boys brought into Babylonian captivity. And the Babylonian king wanted these youth to become Babylonians. So Daniel was one of them. The other one was Joseph. Joseph was, he was a good kid. And like I say, he was the son of Jacob. He was the son that Jacob loved more than the other kids. Now that becomes a problem when a parent prefers one child over other children. Now you're going to have problems. You're going to have you already got a problem with sibling rivalry as it is. But when you start having a child that you love more than everybody, all the other kids know it, they're not going to like it. And you got a problem there. And that's what happened with Joseph. Joseph, just like Jesus, Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Well, they hated Joseph to the point where they ended up selling Joseph to some traveling Ishmaelites, and he ends up, his whole life changes because of those brothers that sold him, and they told Jacob that he was dead. So not only did they sell him into slavery, but they told Daddy, now this is the one that Daddy loves more than anybody else, that he's dead. Can you just imagine that? But look at some of the parallels of Joseph and Jesus. Jesus came from heaven. So he came from riches beyond any riches we can even imagine. Joseph was born into a rich household. They were rich, they were very well off. Just as I said before, Jesus was hated by the Bible says what? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was hated by his own that he created. And Joseph was hated as well. Jesus was loved by his father. When he was baptized and in the transfiguration, you heard God say, what? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And of course, Joseph was loved by his father. He was loved more than the rest and hated. So the same way that Jesus was 33 years old when he passed, when he died on the cross, he had ministered for 3 years. What we don't realize is Joseph ministered. He was a minister for 3 years too, but his ministry was in jail. He was in jail, and he was ministering to a baker and a butcher, and to anybody that he would come in contact with, he was ministering to. He was living a life of faith right before their eyes. The same way that Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, right. Joseph was sold. I should have said it backwards. Joseph was sold as well for 20 pieces of silver. The same way that Jesus, they thought Jesus, after he died, would stay dead. Joseph, they thought he was dead. Well, at least his father did. Yep. And the same way that Joseph would deliver his family from the famine in the land, Jesus would deliver all of us from sin. And the same thing that happened to Joseph, where Joseph, who ended up starting out in prison, ended up ruler over a nation, a very powerful nation. We know that Jesus is going to be what? King of kings and Lord of lords. So Jesus, Joseph's life parallels Jesus in a lot of ways. But I want to look at a verse of scripture in the book of Hebrews, verse 22 of chapter 11. This is the chapter called Heroes of Faith. And in verse 22, Joseph is mentioned. It says of Joseph in verse 22, you can see it up there. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. Yeah. That's like, why would he care about his bones if he's dead? All right. Who cares about some bones if you're dead anyway, right? But we're gonna look at these bones because them bones, you know, you heard that commercial, them beef bones. Oh, them bones. We're gonna look at those bones because those bones have a meaning. And I wanna show you some things about those bones. And so what Hebrews is referring to, he says it was by faith. Hebrews is talking about when Joseph was about to die. We're gonna read that right now in Genesis chapter 50. That Hebrews verse is in reference to Genesis chapter 50, verse 25 and 26. It says, then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath. I don't know why I'm wearing these. You must take my bones with you. So Joseph died at the age of 110. The Egyptians embalmed him and his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt. So I want to focus a little bit on what is being said here. Joseph made them swear. And he said, swear an oath. Now notice what he says. When God comes, you need to underline that if you got a pen, because he didn't say if he comes. It said when God comes to help you, to lead you back, take my bones with you. So what do you think that he's saying here? He's saying, I know something's going to happen. You might not know it, but I know it. And when it happens, don't leave my bones here. We're going to talk about that too. So when we look at some of the stuff that's going on here, remember, this is Joseph is talking to the children of Israel who became a nation in Egypt. They weren't a nation in Israel. They became a nation before they went into Israel. They became a nation in Goshen, which was a part of Egypt, and where they came into that land, about 70 people. Now they have grown immensely, and they become a great nation. And so here we have Joseph. He's letting them know that, and think about this. When they went into that land of Goshen, it was during the time when there was famine everywhere else. They went in there because there was nowhere else to go to eat. Joseph was the governor, and Joseph made sure that they had everything they need. They were living the good life in Egypt. Abraham's vision from God was about to come true. Remember what the vision Abraham received from God? He says, God told Abraham that your ancestors are going to suffer. They're going to go into captivity for 400 years. That's what God told Abraham. They haven't done that yet. They're in Egypt right now, and they're multiplying. They're growing as a nation. But what? The scripture tells us what? There came a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. Amen. So his vision was about to come true. Joseph's bones at this point are where? In Egypt. So we're going to see how those bones start to move. Joseph's bones remained in Egypt for 430 years because they were still there. They would be there for 430 years. And remember something, they were free when they left and went into Goshen. They were free. When the new Pharaoh comes in, he makes slaves out of them. So for 430 years, they're in there in Egypt as slaves. So they come out as slave. So they have what? A slave mentality. So if you're looking at this, you see that Joseph says, when you come out, take my bones with you. Then they what? They go into slavery. It looks like what? What he said ain't going to happen. I mean, from all appearances, it looks like it's not going to happen. 430 years is a long time. And see, we get anxious when we can't get God to do something in a week. If I don't see some results in a week, God ain't going to do it. God didn't hear me, or, you know, we got all kinds of reasons. This is what our Bible study this morning was about, waiting on God and trusting God no matter what, no matter how long it takes. And it reminds us of something I heard, and many of you have heard this. Blessings of God that are delayed are not blessings that are denied. Blessings that may be delayed are not denied. So let's look at Exodus 13 and 19. Because after 430 years, Moses is born. He's in Egypt. And now they're getting ready to come out of Egypt. They come out. And verse 19 says what? Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. He had said this 430 years before, and here it is finally coming to pass, but it came to pass. Those bones that were in 430 years in Egypt are getting ready to make a move.
Right.
Passing it on. God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. They're on the move. So those bones would now go into the wilderness, because the children of Israel are now going to be in the wilderness for 40 more years. So 430 years in Egypt, now 40 more years in the wilderness. Now let's look at Joshua chapter 24. Because remember, they've come out, the 40 years have passed. Now you go into the book of Joshua. Moses has died. Joshua is about to take over. Joshua takes over, does his battles. And Joshua 24:32 says what? The bones of Joseph, which the Israelites had brought along with them when they left Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the plot of land Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor for 100 pieces of silver. This land was located in the territory allotted to the descendants of Joseph. There has 180 years after his death. So what I want us to see here about these bones, that whole thing where he says, when you leave here, not if you leave here, but when you leave here, take my bones with you. He's letting us know that God keeps his word, even though it may take a while.
Come on now. All right.
God cannot lie, because that is not his nature. And why would he need to lie? And remember, if God is telling you something's going to happen in the past, it's not because he's got to do some things to make it happen. Remember who God is. God sees it already happening. God already sees us in heavenly places in Christ. God already sees us. We're like somebody said, we're either getting ready to go into a trial, we're in the middle of the trial, or we just came out of a trial. So trials are everywhere. So, but God sees us in the beginning, before the trial, before you go into the trial, God sees you there. He sees you in the midst of the trial. He sees you when you have come out of the trial. So when he says to you that I'm going to take you through, thank God. That means you're going to make it. And so these bones have moved. God keeps his word. Joseph had faith in God. That God who took, remember, Joseph's life was a life of consistent faith.
Yes, it was.
Every time you saw Joseph get into something, some trouble, one thing you notice that the scripture tells us, the Lord was with Joseph. So the Lord is always with us, no matter what. No matter what we're going through, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph knew not only because God had been with him the whole time, but he trusted God, not only who took care of him, but to take care of his family.
Amen.
He trusted. This is what we have to remember. We have to give our kids to the Lord. Give our grandkids to the Lord. Give those kids who are not even born yet.
Yeah.
I believe you pray for your kids before they even get here. Because I believe that God answers prayer like that.
Yes, he does.
He knew not only that God would take care of his family, but there was a future hope. What God has said before, you saw that it happened, so you can trust that if he says something, it's going
to
happen in the future.
Take it to the bank.
It's going to happen. He told us through the prophets that Jesus was coming. Malachi, Isaiah, they said that there's one who is coming that prepare the way. And guess what? He came and he died. But Isaiah said he's going to come and he's going to rule and reign on the earth. So that means what? He's coming again.
Mm-hmm.
So you better believe it.
Amen.
So Joseph understood that Egypt was not his home. He was the governor of Egypt. He was there for many years ruling in Egypt, but he knew that Egypt was not his home. Don't
Amen.
Leave me here.
He's not an Egyptian.
The bondage that they were in for 430 years was not enough to stop the promise that God had given to Abraham.
Amen.
Nothing can stop God's promise. The world we're living in today, you wonder, you know, we have people that think that we're going to evangelize the world and we can change the world. God says that he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes.
If we could change it, there would be no reason for him to make a new one and a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
This world is broken. It's going to stay broken. Our job is not to think that this world is going to be fixed by anything we do or they do. This world is not going to be fixed. It's broken. Some things you break, you can patch them up and fix them up.
Right.
Some things you can't. This one is one of those.
Amen.
God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Egypt and Pharaoh, when we look at Egypt and Pharaoh, remember, Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. This is where he lived, but that's why he knew, this is not my home. I don't belong here.
All right.
We have to remember that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We have a citizenship elsewhere. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is why the scripture tells us what? We are ambassadors. An ambassador does what? You heard me say this 100 times. An ambassador is a representative who carries a message from one place to another place, from his country to another country. Where is our country? Our country is in heaven. And it's an interesting thing. We're ambassadors for a place we've never seen yet, we've never been yet. But that's our country. And we have a message, and the message comes from our country. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So Egypt was not his home. Then his bones went into what? The wilderness for 40 years. Well, the wilderness is not my home either. That's just a place of wandering. It's a place of waiting. It's a place of transition. We're on the way somewhere. This reminds us that God translates us, what, from out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. So Joseph's life was a product of his faith in his God. He watched the Pharaoh. Remember, Pharaoh thought he was God. He thought he was God incarnate. And for God to send Joseph to that place and make him governor of that place, that's a powerful thing that God does. God does some things that don't make a lot of sense to us mentally, you know, in our heads. But somebody had to prepare and be there when this drought happened so that God's promise to Abraham of Abraham being a multitude of nations would happen.
Right.
And so they became a nation in Goshen. And they would stay there for 430 years, and they would come out of people. They'd come through and live, go through the wilderness, and then you saw God starting to peel away. God is always making a people within a people. Amen. You look at a church, and you get 1,000 people walk out there, and you say, whoa, that's a whole bunch of Christians. Everybody in there ain't Christian. They might think they might go to church. That doesn't make them Christian. That doesn't make them real, true believers. It's transition. So, again, God was always with Joseph. He had those dreams. God gave him the dreams. Those dreams were given for a purpose. Now, God, this is the thing. God may give you a dream. He's not going to give you the details. How it's going to happen, but when he tells you it's going to happen, yeah, you can bet the family farm it's going to happen. I'm going to tell you my own little testimony. If you didn't know this, I was a registered nurse. I retired. God told me while in prayer one day, while I'm living in our little apartment in San Pedro, you will be a nurse, just like that. That's what I heard. Okay, now I hadn't even finished nursing school yet. Having said that, I have a criminal record. Forget about it. You don't need to know all the details, but trust me, I have a felony. I needed to get a license by the state of California with a felony. That right there, I've heard people talk about that today, and it ain't happening. It's almost impossible with a felony. God told me you will be a nurse and I never even considered it. I had been through, I'd come out, and I knew it was going to be hard, but it never dawned on me to stop. It didn't daunt me. It didn't stop me from going. I'm going. There was nothing else to do. Went through school, got ready to apply for the test to take the light to get my license. I send in my application. I get a letter from the state of California. Your application take the test for the board exam is denied. It took a year. Back and forth, but God was in it. And God overturned. They send me a letter almost a year later saying the state of California Board of Nursing has overturned their decision and you are able to take the test. That's God. There's no other explanation for that. When the state says no, and then the state turns around and says, yes, you can't attribute that to luck. You sure can't attribute it to this knucklehead with no sense. God did that. But God promised me. He said it because he knew it was going to happen. He knew what he would do. And so that's what's going on here with these bones. God gave Joseph this trust, this faith that the people of Israel were going to go into the promised land. Why? Because he had promised his great-grandfather, Abraham, that he would be a multitude of nations, that there would be a nation that would be for his people, and that out of that nation, the seed that would bless the whole world would come. And you know good and well Abraham told Isaac, and Isaac told Jacob, and Jacob told his kids. Joseph had a trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we can have that same trust. We should have that same trust. We have more than they had. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, but they had enough faith. All right. And God honored them. This is why Abraham, the scripture says that Abraham, believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So it wasn't that Abraham was perfect. It wasn't that Abraham did everything correctly or right. Abraham did some funny stuff. Lied about his wife and said, this is my sister, and almost had his wife given to the king. So God knows we're not perfect, but God expects us to trust him. God has given us so many reasons to trust him every day. God gave Joseph dreams, and those dreams came to fulfillment. So when Joseph makes this request, this is like a supernatural request. It's like, how in the world are you going to sit up there and ask somebody to make sure your bones go into the promised land? And that was so far back. He did it because he made a supernatural request because he had faith in the God of the supernatural. What do these bones mean? Genesis 50, verse 25 tells us when God comes to help you and to bring you out. When he comes. And it reminds us, the scripture tells us, things that are going to happen. John 14, Jesus says in verse 3, and I will go and prepare a place for you. I will come again. So he came the first time. They said he was coming. He came. Well, he said, I'm coming back. Guess what? He's coming back. I'd love to be here when it happens, but I have a feeling I'm going to be up there waiting. I'm going to be there with him. I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself, he's not sending angels to pick you up. You remember that movie Ghost? And they had the bright light and the angels, you know, were waiting. No, he's coming himself personally to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain, who will be caught up together with him in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4:17-18 says, then we who are alive and remain, and this is the part I want to get to, this is part of that 1 Thessalonians, it says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord, therefore, comfort. That's hope. Comfort one another with these words, words of hope. What God's word says is true. It's going to happen. We can take it to the bank. We don't have to worry. When he says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, that's telling you that you have access to him. You can let him know what's going on in here, what's going on in here. You know, I'm glad we had this marriage retreat, because this marriage retreat showed us the power of God. It showed us that God is faithful. He says, pray without ceasing. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Fervent, effective prayer of the righteous availeth much. So prayer is powerful because our God is powerful. And God loves us. He looks at us with eyes of love. You know, when we talked about the marriage retreat, it keeps coming up because it was so powerful. But one of the things scripture tells us is that the marriage is a picture of God, of Jesus Christ, and his relationship to the church. And so the scripture tells us in 1 Peter says what? Or Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And what did he do? He died for it. He gave himself for it. That is where we are. That is what we are supposed to understand about these marriages. So, but when I say husbands, love your wife, that goes both ways. Wives have to love their husbands. You know, and love, you know, we can talk about all the other stuff it says in Ephesians, but we don't have to worry about it because it says submit one to another. And the same way we submit one to another, that's out of love, one for another. It reminds us that Christ submitted himself for us. He came and became us. He says, I did not come to be served. He's the King of Kings. He deserves to be served. But he said, I didn't come for that. He says, I came to serve you. When he got the Last Supper, when he was with his disciples, he washed their feet. The God that made everything washed their feet. And he told them, and I'm telling you, because the same thing he told them, I'm telling you, many of us don't get it. He says, what I'm doing now, you don't understand it, but you will later. What it means to be, you want to be great in God's kingdom? As husbands, you want to be strong women. Women want to, you know, they got this whole movement about women, you know, being strong women, you know. You want to be strong in God's eyes? Live the way God says. He says love. He says serve. That means submitting yourself one to another. Not trying to push yourself out front. That whole thing. I get it when any group tries to get themselves to be recognized. I understand that, but you know what that is? That's selfishness. I don't care how you coat it, sugarcoat it. I don't care how you look at it. That's selfishness. And that's what God doesn't want. God wants, as I was saying, God wants us to be others-centered rather than what?
Self-centered.
That's what God wants, not this other stuff. Look, the devil is the god of this world. And what that stuff does, it promotes what he wants. Because remember, his whole thing is to take our eyes off God. He's a counterfeiter. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. Everything God does, he counterfeits it. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And what does the devil do? It says that he transforms himself into an angel of light. He has to do that. He has to transform himself. What is he saying? He's saying he's covering up what he really is. When you go to places like New York City and you see the bright lights and they're flashing, and you go to Las Vegas and you see the bright lights, that's nothing but the devil counterfeiting what God has already said. Jesus is the light. So the devil gives us this artificial light. It's a fake light. It's a temporary light. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to understand the true light. Jesus is the light of the world. And we're supposed to be what? Reflectors of that light. Just like the moon at night, that's a full moon. It's so bright at night, it lights up the night sky, right? That moon has no light of its own. It only reflects the sun. And that's what we're to do. We're to reflect the S. We're just like the moon reflects the S-U-N. We are to reflect the S-O-N, the Son of God. Amen. All right, well, give God a hand praise. I'm done. I'm 105. Praise God. Let us stand and have a word of prayer.
Yes, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the word, God.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the hearts of your people. We thank you, Lord, for the things that we are learning day after day. We thank you, as someone said, we have to learn, we have to relearn, and we have to unlearn some things. And the things that we need to know, God, you have given to us in your word, and we just say thank you. We thank you for your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. Yours are the way of love, and love covers a multitude of sins. Help us, Lord, to love one another as you said for us to do. Help us to love in ways that we have never even thought of. Help us to love those that we previously never loved before. Help us to walk like you walk, to talk like you talk. Help us, Lord, to be better Christians. Help us, Lord, to be better fathers, better mothers, better husbands, better wives. Help us, Lord, to be better servants. You came to serve and not be served. Help us to live like you, to think like you, to put others ahead of ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for those bones. Those bones are bones of faith, bones of faithfulness, showing us consistent faith. Faith needs to be consistent, not sometimes up, sometimes down, but faith that pleases you,
yes, Lord,
is a faith that's constant. In good times, in bad times, in dark times, in light times, help us, Lord, to just be better. All that you've done for us, Lord, we're just here to say thank you for it.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Amen.